North Rock Podcast.
Hey, just wanted to say, so happy to see you all here this morning. We are finishing up a series that's maybe been a little unconventional. Maybe just a little bit, right? A little bit on the edge, which was basically a family series that we built together with some video clips from some things that we've seen in recent movies, okay? And so if you've been with us for the entire journey, you know we've done our very, 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 very best to make sure there's been a film that kind of connects to a lot of different multi-ethnic and multi-generational diversity that we have as North Rock. I mean, look around the room for a minute. Isn't it a cool expression of God's heart, the age demographics and the different personalities that are in this place? I think that's what God would have, right? Yeah, there's far too many mono-ethnic churches. Go ahead and put that on the record. Far too many. Okay, let's not be that. How about that? I don't know where that came from, but that's my official position on the matter, okay? I don't know, they gave me the mic, sometimes things come out, right? But the point that I was making was simply this, that first week we did something with Wreck-It Ralph talking about identity issues, which is an animated kind of kids film. But today, right, it's kind of the dad's day, it's kind of the guy's day, and we are going to be talking about some very emotionally heavy content. We're talking about family issues. We're talking about forgiveness and why Jesus says that's important. And I think that's something we all would abide by. But I would also just make one little parental note that if you have young ones or little ones or those under the age of 13 with you today, there is one scene, the very last scene that we're going to show, scene 5, where there's actually a little bit of MMA violence in it because the movie we're showing is The Warrior. Okay? We're showing The Warrior. And so that might be a great time for you to just take the kiddos and give them one of these or give them one of those or take them back for a refill of popcorn, something to that effect, all right? But the movie that we're going to be breaking down is called The Warrior, and it's about an estranged family that finds redemption in the unlikeliest of places, that MMA ring. It's a story of two brothers who end up facing off against one another. Tommy, who's an ex-Marine with a tragic past, returns home and enlists his father, who's played by Nick Nolte, who's a recovering alcoholic and former wrestling coach, to train him for Sparta. Everybody say Sparta this morning. Bet you never thought you'd say that in church, right? Never. It's like, wait a minute, what is that, right? So it's the biggest MMA tournament to ever be held. For those that aren't familiar with the language, it's mixed martial arts, okay? But when Tommy's underdog brother, Brendan, who's played by Joel Edgerton, fights his way into the tournament, the two brothers end up having to square off against one another and confront each other and the forces that had pulled their families apart over the time. So with that being said, you have been warned, right? And so I'm going to pray into this. And then again, if you'll give me just this one more week, this is kind of a creative approach to preaching. So we've got a lot of video clips that we've interlaced in, and I'm just going to be kind of narrating it. But that requires that I stay on script, right? So I can't come up and do a lot of this with you today. So if you'll please entertain me today, I'm going to be sitting in that chair like the old man that I'm becoming. But I'll be in the chair for the format and the duration of our message until we close, all right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are active and alive in us. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us day in and day out. And Lord, it's that still small voice in the midst of all the clamor and the clanging and the busyness of our lives that remind us that we are your children, that you love us, and that you have much to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be a people that listen for you day in and day out. Lord, help us to be a people that respond to the identity formation that you have done in us, to be a people who really do believe for being overcoming of our circumstances and really are a people who give and receive forgiveness easily. Lord, we pray that you would move in our midst. We thank you for the work that you're going to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's watch that first video clip.
I say, resume have as he threw down the top ball, a white whale. Skin your eyes for him, men. Look sharp for white water. If you see but a bubble, sing out.
Thank you.
Tommy? Jesus. What are you doing here?
Well, I was just passing through. And I figured, why not have a belt with the old man?
Yeah.
She looks good.
Yeah. She's hanging in there.
Well, you always did take good care of her. Patty Conlon. Man of priorities.
We got something for you.
Mom always said never go anywhere empty-handed.
She did. That's not for me anymore, Tommy.
You changed brands? Mm.
Let's go inside, huh? Tommy. Come on, let's go inside.
There's not much of a woman's touch around here.
Yeah, well, and no more women for me, Tommy.
Yeah. Must be hard to find a girl who can take a punch nowadays.
He's a school teacher down in Philly. Remember Tess? They got two beautiful little girls.
So you found God, huh? That's awesome. Your mom kept calling out for him, but he wasn't around. I guess Jesus was down at the mill forgiving all the drunks, huh? So you gonna ask about her? Or are you just gonna sit there all sober?
I know.
Oh, you know? What do you know? Huh? Do you know it wasn't enough to drive west to get away from you, that once we hit the water we drove north to?
When I got sober, I hired a man to find you.
And is that one of the 12 steps? Or does a guy like you get 24? You could have heard about her coughing up blood on her knees, having me rub her down with holy water because, well, she didn't have no insurance. All the time waiting for your pal, Jesus, to save her. Did your man tell you that?
I'm sorry, Tom.
Well, it's good to know that you're sorry, Bob. It goes a long way. I think I liked you better when you were a drunk.
Needless to say, I did warn you. There's some emotional heaviness that are associated with these clips. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how much we try to shield ourselves or pad ourselves from pain in life, everyone experiences it. No life is immune to hurt, sorrow, or suffering. And at some point, we all encounter pain. And just like when we are experiencing physical pain, we recoil. Our natural reaction is to put our shields up and to cover up. You may actually be sitting here shielded. You may have experienced some sort of pain. Maybe it was some form of sexual or physical abuse, a spouse that's cheated on you, your parents getting divorced, or something as simple as being teased at school or someone who had bullied you. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I'm just angry at God about some of these circumstances in my life. There are endless ways that wounds can be inflicted into our lives. And most of the times, it's not even our fault. We were the victim to those circumstances. And that's why so many people have such a hard time extending this idea of forgiveness to people. They deserve it. It's their fault. They brought it upon them because they did X, Y, and Z to me, right? So what so many people fail to realize, though, is that in unforgiveness, it eventually begins to kind of mold us into and change us into a different person. one who's cynical, closed off to other people, bitter about the past, and unoptimistic about our futures. It's said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness is a poison, and the person that is dying when we hold on to it is us. It's you. It's me. Thomas Fuller said that he that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which they must pass themselves. For every man has a need to be forgiven. Today, as we begin to broach this topic of unforgiveness in our hearts or forgiveness issues that we all experience, because if we could take off the veneer, if we could take off the blinds, we'd all see that we're all carrying more today than any one person could know. Is that we would consider that question. Is there an issue of unforgiveness in my life today? Let's watch that second clip.
A big box.
It's a birthday.
I know, but that's why you call it a budget. You set it and you don't budge.
This is mine. Hey, open the big box. Good. Good. Yes. You're gonna get it, all right? Two more. Do I know you? Oh, man.
Wow.
Long time, brother. Too long.
Too your long. Place.
You right?
Yeah.
You look good, brother.
Thanks.
It's good to see you, man. So you're... Everything's going... It's going great, huh?
Yeah. Man. Well, I got a little problem. The guys at the bank... I want to take my house away.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of why I came to see you, actually.
You know, I got most of my dough tied up in this joint, but how much do you need?
I didn't come here for long, Frank. I mean, I was hoping that you would train me.
Train you for what? You're a teacher. What are you going to do? You're going to come down here a couple days a week after detention? You're gonna skip out of the girls' volleyball game, really?
I got loads of time. Time's not an issue. Parking lot thing kind of got me suspended.
Do you know about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
What do I say?
What am I gonna say to you? No?
Right.
Yeah?
I appreciate it.
Oh, what are you kidding me? You need anything, you call me.
Yeah.
It's me, Pop. 1,000 days sober today.
Well, it's great, Pop, but it doesn't change anything.
What do you mean doesn't change anything? Have a heart, Brendan.
God, just because you decide it's a special day, it doesn't make one for me. I got wife and kids inside, and they're waiting for me, so I don't have time for whatever this is.
I know you got a wife and kid in there. I've got a granddaughter in there I haven't seen in 3 years, and another one I haven't even ever met.
Yeah, why is that, Pop? Why is that? Take care of yourself.
Tommy's back. He's over at the house. We're doing a little training, you know. At Fitzy's, remember Fitzy's? It ain't Fitzy's anymore.
You and Tommy are training together. Right, did he say if he wants to see me?
Well, he doesn't say much.
Wow, look at you. That's the inside man. You and Tommy training together like nothing ever happened. It's unbelievable. Now I know what you're really doing here.
What's that?
You came to gloat.
Oh, I did not come to gloat. I came to get my son back.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, you got your son back.
No, I'm talking about you, Brendan.
You got your son back.
You are my son, Brendan.
Am I?
Yeah, you are. I'm just asking you if you can find him. A little bit of space in your heart. Forgive me. A little bit.
I forgive you.
Okay.
But I do not trust you.
Oh. Okay. Okay. But right. They're not different things. You gotta trust to forgive.
Night, Pop.
Oh, my God. Is that Emily? She's grown, brother. Is that Rosie?
Oh, it's just a nice old man. Come on.
How about a cup of coffee?
Wow, it's a little close to home, doesn't it? I can tell it's ringing some emotional chords for us. And in fact, I probably should have had the ushers be ready to hand out tissue throughout the service. So if you need some, they're available up front. Here we have some in the back as well. And I say that with all sincerity. In order to do something like this, I've got to read through these things like 7 times, you know, just to prepare to be here. And I cried in 3 out of the 5 clips. Most of the week, okay? So maybe I'm just empty. Maybe I won't get through it. But you know, that clip there is talking about the issue of letting go. It's and I was reminded one day when I was reading the Bible, it dawned on me that the Bible puts the burden of forgiveness not on the offender, but the ones that are offended. If you've been offended, you have to go and make the choice to let go. If you're waiting on the offender to come and make things right for you, you might be waiting an awful long time, right? And at that same time, we know that it may never come, that they'll come and take responsibility for what's happened, what occurred. But on the other hand, they can be genuinely sorry. They can be regretful. They can have a season of remorse. In fact, Jesus tells a story of a man that owed what would be the equivalent today of a $40 million debt. And in that story, it was a debt that he couldn't repay. And the one that he owed it to was willing to release him from that if he would release someone who owed him something that was very small. And his reluctance ended up costing him his freedom, costing him the ability to forgive and to move on. So my question for us today, as we wrestle with what the Lord's doing in our hearts and in our lives, as we talk about these issues of unforgiveness, is what prison might you be locked in today because you refuse to let go? Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says this: "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." Again, the reminder that God's fully capable of bringing these healing issues to place, these forgiveness issues to place, if and when we participate and partner with him. Amen. Let's watch that third clip.
How's it going?
It's going.
I was thinking we should go grab a coffee.
I don't drink coffee, man. What you want?
Don't want to go sit down somewhere?
Nah, I'm good right here.
Okay. Tell me, how was I supposed to know I was never going to see you guys again?
Yeah, well, you were briefed. You had the information. You chose the old man and the girl.
This wasn't just some girl. I married him. She's my wife. See? That's Tess. That's Emily and Rosie. They ain't nieces, Tommy.
I don't know him.
No, you don't know him. Of course you don't know him.
So why am I looking at pictures of people I don't know?
Because that's my family.
And who are you exactly?
I'm your brother, man.
You in the court?
What?
I said I know you in the court.
I wasn't in the court.
But you're no brother to me. My brother was in the court.
Jesus, Tommy.
I was a 16-year-old kid. Well, so that's it. I stay with Tess. I never get to see you guys again. Not a single phone call, nothing. God, man, I don't understand this. So you won't forgive me, but you forgave Pop.
No, he's just some old vet that I train with. You know, he means nothing to me. What I hear, he means nothing to you either.
That has nothing to do with forgiveness. I got children, man. I got a family to protect. Everything I do is for them. I forgave Pop. Just like I forgave you and Mom.
You forgave us?
Yeah.
Mom needed you. I needed you. You're my big brother. You bailed on me.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you stayed. Everything worked out for you. You leave, you get the opposite. Okay? You leave, you get to bury people.
You're not the only one that suffered, Tommy. I didn't even know she was sick. I never even got the chance to say goodbye to my own mother.
Wow. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So you see, bitterness is a root, and just like a root, it starts small. But over time, it continues to grow. And if there's anybody in the Bible that had a right to be bitter at their brothers, it would have been Joseph, wouldn't you agree? See, Joseph was sold into slavery by his very own brothers. His flesh and blood. Then upon becoming a slave in an Egyptian named Potiphar's home, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of sexual misconduct. Then, to top it all off, he gets thrown into prison for approximately 14 years of his life. See, Joseph could have certainly thought of himself as a victim, wouldn't you agree? He could have given up, he could have been bitter, but we find that Joseph kept the right attitude. In fact, I believe that the very fact that Joseph didn't become bitter is why God's hand of favor was upon him in those darkest times. Yes, I said his hand of favor. What do I mean by that? What does it mean to have God's favor? See, it says that he was a slave and that he was thrown into jail, and that's true. But his circumstances did not mitigate whether or not God could use him or use us. We find that eventually Joseph got promoted to the second in command in all of Egypt. From that place to the second in command. Imagine with me just for a moment, waking up one day in your cell, in prison, and going to bed that very night in a palace. That's what God did in Joseph's life, because he knew that regardless of the circumstances of what he had walked through in this world, that his father loved him and he had better plans for his life. So when Joseph was reunited with those brothers, they were fearful and full of trepidation, right? They figured that he'd be out for revenge for what they'd done to him. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 16, it reads this. It says, so they sent the message to Joseph, these brothers did. Your father has died. He instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong that they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received that message, he broke down and he wept. Then his brothers came and they threw themselves down before Joseph, saying, look, we are your slaves. But Joseph replied, do not be afraid of me. Am I God that I would punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Wow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 instructs us this way. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviors, and instead choose to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you.
Hey, can't sleep, huh? I know that there are other things bothering the hell out of you. I'm proud of you, Tony. What you did for that kid in the tank, that was really something. How about deserting my unit? Is that really something, too? Yeah. I was on my way out of the country when I came across those guys. What was I supposed to do? Let him drown?
Nothing.
What'd you do? What'd they do? I took off. That's why you go by rear. That's why they can't find your service records. What the hell happened over there, Tommy?
That is none of your business, man.
Oh, come on, Kenny. You know, I've been there. I've done it. I've seen it. You can trust me. I understand.
You spare me the compassion of father routine, Pop. The suit don't fit.
Tommy, I'm really trying here.
You're trying?
Yeah, I'm really trying.
Now? Where were you when it mattered? I needed this guy back when I was a kid. I don't need you now. You know, it's too late now. Everything has already happened. You and Brenda don't seem to understand that. Let me explain something to you, okay? The only thing that I have in common with Brendan Condon is that the pair of us, we have absolutely no use for you. Look at you. Yeah. I was right.
That scene really drives home the truth that hurt people hurt people. It doesn't make it right. However, it's been said that none of us could ever know the emotional scars or the emotional challenges that any one person might be carrying at some time when we come into contact with them. I love this scene because It offers a glimpse into the soul of the father. You see the pain. You see what he's been carrying. You see the regret and the remorse and the suffrage that he had endured in life. But the other side of what we see is that Tommy, for the first time in those eyes, you see a glimpse of humanity. You see some healing that had occurred. You see him embrace him and offer compassion. Can I just encourage us as Christ followers today? We have that opportunity every day to bring compassion and care and love to people who are hurting. Joan London said it well, said that holding on to anger, resentment, and hurt only gives you tense muscles, a headache, and a sore jaw from clenching your teeth. Forgiveness gives you back the laughter and the lightness of life. Isn't that good? In this scene, we're offered a front row seat to view a life spent without receiving or giving or offering forgiveness. That's what it looks like all grown up, without which we all are truly lost. So I want us to ask ourselves this morning, is holding on to unforgiveness worth it? And are we holding on to something? Let's watch this last clip and the worship team come up and we'll close.
Slip away.
Well, I almost made it. You know, I do believe that there's a connection between the spiritual healing that God does in our lives and our emotion. There's some connections there. And so if today you're moved emotionally as I am, I believe that's the Holy Spirit pulling out some of the pain that you might have been carrying. You know, all week long I debated, do I need to show that last scene? Do I need to show that last scene? Do I need to show that last scene? And I believe it is appropriate that we close with it for two reasons. One, because I know that there's a whole lot of us in here that have been fighting for a long time, fighting to get through this life, fighting to overcome things in our lives. And I felt like you guys can play some music or something to lighten this. Thank you. I felt like today the Lord wanted to remind us that He's secured us a victory on the other side of our fight. That He's done what we could not do for ourselves. And that when we choose to do it His way, and we choose not to walk in unforgiveness, but in forgiveness, we choose to be compassionate beyond our circumstances, He does amazing things in our lives. I'm also moved because I feel the emotional and family pain. Perhaps today, as we worship and the Lord continues to do the work that He's doing in our hearts, perhaps something struck a chord for you today in the need for healing in your families. If that's you here today, would you just be so bold as to just pop that hand up? Perhaps today it's an issue of trying to overcome. Go ahead and leave them up there, because you're not going to be the only ones. Mine's up. Perhaps it's an issue of trying to overcome addiction, a battle with that bottle that we saw there, or some other form of making it through life with a busted limb. If that's you, would you just keep your hand up with those that are already up? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Perhaps today, your issue is more of, I've been the one on the other side. I'm the one that's wronged others. And I never knew how to receive forgiveness for that. If that's you, would you raise your hand today? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your boldness, church. And mine are up on all three accounts. I just wish I had a third arm here, right? How is it that we overcome? You can put them down. I know your arms are getting tired. How is it that we overcome these things? We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony that Jesus gives us, right? That it's Him in us that gets us through. It's Him in us that heals our brokenness. It's Him in us that gives us ultimate victory. And the only way that we're going to be a forgiving, compassionate people is to let it go to the one who's done all that we need Him to do. See, the Bible is clear that maybe today is the day that you're going to accept forgiveness for what you've done to wrong others and what's been done wrong to you. Bible is very clear. When we confess with our mouth, believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, that He died on the cross for my sin and your sin, and that He rose from that grave 3 days later, that there is power released for us to live a victorious life. How many of you with me would like to see Jesus living victorious through us, right? Individually, corporately. So as we sing this next song, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. If there's any area in your life that we could partner in prayer with you for, we want to do that today. Okay, so I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. We're going to sing this last song as an expression of our trust and belief that God is in the place for a purpose to heal and deliver and strengthen our faith. Amen? Amen. Let's do that, then I'll come up and close us. Just this posture of worship as the Lord ministers to our hearts. Just want to remind all of us that the way that we become forgiving people is by receiving forgiveness our own selves. I know that there are some here today that have been on a journey and you've been fighting and you didn't know you had somebody in a corner. You didn't know that if you'd tap out to God, that Jesus would come and He would lead you through this world, through this life, and into eternity that He secured for us. Only He could do it. None of us can live a good enough life to ever do it on our own. If you're here today and you'd like to make that decision today, would you be so bold as just to pop your hand up? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir, I see you. God bless you. And for all those who are already here, we're somewhere along the way of God's restoration of our families. Amen? We're somewhere along the way in God restoring and giving us dreams of a brighter future and greater hope and more compassion and more love in our lives. Amen? That's what this journey is all about. But for those that have already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're gonna pray a prayer that we do around here just about every week with those that are saying yes for the very first time. But I did want to say, if this is your very first time, we've got a couple of tools, just a gift that's going to help you get started. I would love to meet you after the service. We're going to continue to minister here at the front. If you'd like prayer for any need in your life, we would love to partner with you in that, okay? But because that prayer's probably been up behind me for about a minute now, right? Yeah, let's pray that prayer. Whether it's our first time or our 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, and to following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering for what he's doing in our midst? We thank you, God, that you are the overcomer. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Again, feel free to stay as we have a little bit more worship. You're free to go as well as service is concluding. But if you said yes to Jesus for the first time, I would love to meet you and offer you a tool to help you get started, okay? God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out to North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.